So by a way of introduction, if I were to ask you, what do we have in about 8 weeks? Probably most of you guys are ahead of me on this. What should we be thinking about in this time we have at approximately about 2 months and 8 weeks ahead of us? We have the Passover. I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, have started prepping for it or thinking about it and started doing some of the things that are commanded by God in the Bible about self-examination and, you know, reflecting on where we've been and where we're going, and did we achieve our goals that we expected to, and if not, what can we do to move forward and forgetting about the past? As we know, the Passover kind of a renewal of our commitment to God and to Jesus Christ. And in this preparation, there's many different tools that we have that God has provided for us. Of course, you know, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which makes it all completely possible. But also there's a few other tools that are outlined in the epistles that help us, guide us in our self-examination and how to, you know, truly look at ourselves on, you know, are we doing what we need to be doing? If not, you know, we don't dwell on that. We need to put an action plan in place and to, you know, reset, as it will, and move forward and recommit ourselves to God. So some of the tools that have been provided for us, you know, obviously I just mentioned it, was self-examination is the first tool. And of course, we have guidance from the Word of God, a lot of an instruction on there on self-examination and what we need to be doing. And of course, you know, the bar is very high with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our elder brother, on how he lived his life. And, you know, even though he was without sin, I'm quite sure he was constantly self-examining as a human, because he was fully human, even though he was had the full spirit of God the Father, you know, as part of the family. And if we know it was impossible for him to sin, but he was tempted, and I'm sure he had to go through examination, even though there wasn't anything that he did that would sin per se. And of course, you know, we have the tools of fasting, prayer, and meditation. And, you know, it's appropriate to be utilizing those tools during our examination, not only, you know, before in preparation for the Passover, but also in preparation in our daily lives. You know, it shouldn't be just only during Passover. It should a process that goes on and on throughout the year. Another tool that I think we're all aware of, I'm sure we're all aware of, but maybe perhaps we don't really think about it in those terms as a tool, but it truly is, that it was given after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that tool is the Holy Spirit, the power of God. After we've been baptized, made that plunge into the water, had the hands laid on us after coming up, having the hands in the prayer. In Scripture, we're given the Holy Spirit according to Scripture, and that is a tool. I think most of us understand here that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. However, we have a lot of baggage that comes with us, maybe not so much growing up in church, some of us, but others that came out of this world and out of secular religion, is there such a thing, out of mainstream religion. I guess religion has become secular these days. The concept of the Holy Spirit is very misunderstood and twisted, and probably for a reason by Satan, to help us not to deceive us in understanding what the Holy Spirit is. So just for a way of introduction, how does this world view the Holy Spirit? I did just a very basic, quick Google search, you know, what is the Holy Spirit? And pretty much there was an underlying theme, and that theme, and I'm going to just quote from this, from BibleProject.com, guides Holy Spirit. And it reads, the title is, Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of Trinity alongside the Father and the Son, or Word, as the invisible personal presence of the Creator, God, the Holy Spirit, animates and sustains all creation, embodying God's active presence in the world. Question, is this how the Bible defines the Holy Spirit? reading this definition, you know, they're saying that the Holy Spirit is a person of God, which how can you have be multiple people of God? It's just kind of confusing to begin with. But they kind of limit it to the Holy Spirit. They limit it to it's something that we don't get, even though in the scripture it says, upon baptism, repentance, and the laying of hands, you receive the Holy Spirit. So it is a deception. We're not going to really dwell on that part there. I just want to kind of set the baseline. So in this sermonette, we are going to look at three characteristics of the Holy Spirit and how those characteristics help us in preparing for the Passover. But not only for the Passover, rather an ongoing self-examination throughout our lives. The title of this sermonette is The Gift of the Holy Spirit, Our Tool in Self-Examination. So the first attribute or characteristic of the Holy Spirit, and of course there's many more. I'm not putting these in particular orders of importance or anything like these. We just only have time to look at a few of the characteristics. So the first characteristic is the Holy Spirit, the gift of God given to us after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and making a commitment to God to live our lives according to His will when we went into the watery grave, is it transforms us with a new heart and a new mindset by God placing His law in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So the first characteristic, it internalizes the law of God into us so we have a fuller and greater understanding of what that law is other than the physical characteristics of do not do that. This puts it into us and changes our heart to understand just not the do and do not, but understand why we don't do it and what are the consequences of just not the physical act, but the internal act of thinking of whatever. So for our first scriptural reference, please turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36, and we'll be reading verses 26 through 27. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 7, 27. And starting in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 through 27, from this other page, I will give you a new heart and put a spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Well, right there, this very first scripture just proves what the world view as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that God puts within us. It is His power. It's not our power, it's His power. And that power dwells with our spirit, the spirit of man, to help change us. It's a tool, it's a mechanism to, when we came to God and said, my way isn't working. I see the flaws in it. God, it's your way that works. It's that tool. It's that spirit. It's that driving force that helps us go from point A, a way of death, to a way of life, of eternal life. And it transforms us. It's an incredible tool. So the first characteristics, this tool, this first attribute or characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is it changes our mindset. And that's what we ask God for when we went to Him repenting, changing our lives. And as we examine ourselves through this Passover season, upcoming Passover season, as we prepare for it, it helps us to see things that, okay, well, I need a little bit of work here. And then we can make a commitment to God how we work on these things we need to work on. We don't dwell on what we failed at because it's all rearview mirror. If we dwell on that, we won't be in the right mind when coming before God and Jesus Christ on the Passover. We've alluded to this point already, but we'll just go ahead and enumerate it. So our second point is the Holy Spirit is God's power working within believers. Just not only those that say, I trust Jesus Christ. I look to God, he's my Savior, but there's no action. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, requires action. And it's just not, as we've, there's many different verses we could read through about being hearers versus doers. And God commands all, each and every one of us to be doers of his word. And to a certain element, or can we do this on our own? Yeah, we could probably muddle our way through it, but we're going to fail. But it's the tool of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God to make that change. And that Spirit dwells within us, and it drives us to do good works. Not only physical good works, but spiritual good works. So let's, my scriptural reference, and I'll just read it out of my notes. We're going to be reading Romans 8, verses 12 through 14. So the Holy Spirit, just as before we read this, it's just not around God's people, it's in God's people. So Romans 8, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not of the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death of the deeds of the body, the old man, as we go through our examination, we need to be thinking of this. You will live, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we have the Spirit within us. We're led by it. We are called the very children of God. This world doesn't understand that. They think this is some Greek abstract concept, but this is written in Hebrew and translated to Greek. The intent behind this is it is a literal thing that will be within you, and you will become adopted sons and daughters of the ever-living Father with our brother Jesus Christ, who made it possible for each and every one of us. Our third point that we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as a tool for self-examination, the third characteristics, the Spirit renews our minds and shapes us to be more like Christ. It helps transform us from our sinful nature to the very nature or character of God. What is character? It's an exact image. And that's what the Holy Spirit, as a tool, as the power of God, does for us. It creates, it's creating us into that very image of God. So Romans 12, if you will turn with me, or I'll just read it from my notes in sake of time, because I don't know how far time-wise I am. Romans 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We physically can't do this. Many people have tried, but it takes that Spirit of God to make this change. It takes that tool to do the self-examination to see, oh, from a physical, I didn't see this from a physical, but as I dig deep into the scriptures, I dig into self-examination, I see, oh, I'm kind of missing the mark here. Okay, this is where I need to improve, and this is the plan that we'll do to improve. So in reviewing these 3 points, I've got a couple kind of, have a couple things that kind of adds a word picture to it. So through the Spirit of God, we stay connected to God's mind and guidance. We gain a deeper and in-depth understanding of God's truth and word. There's a lot of people that are very good Bible scholars out there, but without the Holy Spirit, you can't fully understand what's really written there. Have eyes to see and ears to hear, but they are blind. It takes that Holy Spirit to God, by God, to reveal that. We receive the strength to overcome sin and personal weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us experience conviction of sin and clarity about what's right and wrong, truly what's right and wrong, according to the will of God, by his spiritual law. We grow spiritual fruit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control. We receive comfort, encouragement, and reassurance in all circumstances, whatever fiery trial you may be going through. It may be a tough life. It may be really struggling, but that comforter is there. If we're staying close to God, it will give us a sense. It will give us comfort. It will give us joy. Of course, nobody's happy going through a trial, and who knows how the trial is going to end. But we have that inner peace, and without the Holy Spirit of God, it's not possible. It takes that Holy Spirit of God. It reminds me of 1 John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in me, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he's given to us. God's abiding in each and every one of us, through his Spirit. But it's just not a passive thing. It's an active thing. The Spirit must be stirred up. If you drift away from God, that Spirit's going to, I guess in some cases it can go away, but it's just going to go dormant. It's going to take action of getting closer to God to stir it back up so that we become closer to him and we can have that joy. And that's the great thing about self-examination and this tool that God has given to us, is that it helps us to see where we need to be and where we need to go. So if we summarize this, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, helps us change our hearts of stone to flesh, instilling the law of God into our renewed hearts. The power is injected into the followers of God and aids in overcoming and aids in self-examination. It transforms our mind. It helps shapes us into the very character of Jesus Christ. As we prepare for the Passover, the Spirit helps us prepare and judge ourselves. If we don't judge ourselves, who's going to judge us? To use the Holy Spirit, we must exercise with our daily lives by having a close relationship with God, studying his word, meditating on it, then putting it into actions into our daily lives. Use this tool that God has given to each and every one of us. This Holy Spirit enhances all the other tools that we use in self-examination.